Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Season 2, Episode 3, The Second Coming is over, but here in Poster Recaps, we're just getting started. My name is Grace, but of course I'm not alone. Here's Jason Reed. Jason, how you doing?
Grace, I'm doing good. I came on here and claimed the thimble before you could get in, get into the recording, so, you know, I got what I needed for the day.
I thought you always just sometimes you choose the top hat, you know, who knows?
Yeah, sometimes on the horsey, sometimes on the little iron, but, you know, today I know since you like the thimble, I had to get in here first and get the thimble.
Brutal. Who knew Family Monopoly Night is after the last time we saw it? Turns out they still want to play, huh? Johnny and Jimmy.
Yeah, they're still doing it, even though, you know, the last time. You know, maybe it's just how it goes sometimes. Maybe it's a common staple of Monopoly that the kids get, you know, get reamed out for not being cutthroat enough at Monopoly. So it was just it wasn't even a one time thing. Just water off a duck's back. They were fine with it.
Yeah, I always forget the name of the actress who is like also around in scenes with Jeannie, Molly Gordon.
Did they shoot all of her stuff in one day? Because she's
probably
here, like, for 2 minutes every episode. She's like, I gotta get back to the bear, so we gotta make this quick.
she plays Linda. She had a funny line. She thought that her dad, Jeannie's dad, was more of a twister guy.
She's always coming in and like dropping these seeds into Jeannie's mind and then just dipping out. Like, this is what she's here for.
All right, well, we're here to chat about The Second Coming. We'll get into it. Make sure you subscribe, PosterRecaps.com/HBO, PosterRecaps.com/WinningTime. You can also check out the video versions of these podcasts on YouTube.com/PostShowRecaps. Jason, what'd you make of The Second Coming?
You know, I actually, I don't know if this is going to be a hot take or not. I thought this was the best episode of season two so far.
I think that's a fair take. I think maybe episode one is up in contention, but this is a really good episode, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. We covered a lot, you know, and, you know, we've been really trying to guess how the show is going to handle covering four seasons in one season of TV. And we still didn't get it. Like, we haven't even started this, you know, what is going to be the 1981 season? We still haven't started.
We were like trying to predict like how many episodes per season they would cover. Turns out, yeah, we don't even get a season this year, but we also get basically 1976 to 1981 in this episode. Yeah. In a flashback with Larry Bird.
Yeah. Like, you know, I thought this was a show about the Lakers.
Well,
why, you know, and honestly, I think if this was a 10 episode season, yeah, I think we could have gotten a whole, and some shows do this, we could have gotten a whole episode dedicated to Larry Bird's origin, instead of just these kind of intercut, which really, you know, kind of felt forced in a way to me, just these intercut scenes of Larry Bird's origin in here. I think we could have gotten a whole episode just based on Larry Bird and his origins.
I mean, we'll see, I think, at the end of seven episodes, if I think that having the Larry Bird episode is sort of worth it. Not that it's entirely Larry Bird. We definitely have some Paul Westhead versus everybody.
Yeah, totally.
And then Magic and Norm, which we'll get to. But I did like it. I thought that, I feel like this show nails tone and vibe. And mm-hmm, so yeah, basically having like a Willie Nelson song playing as we're like in French Lick, Indiana, I thought was so good in a way that I thought it was really fun to sort of take the Winning Time thing and imagine if this was, you know, about the Celtics in the 80s and do that Larry Bird thing. The part of me that's like, I really enjoyed it. And then this part of my brain that I can't turn off, which is like, but you only have seven episodes. What are you doing? Yeah, this is the Lakers show.
I kept thinking, like, we're not even going to start the season by the time we get to the end of the episode. I'm like, how are y'all going to do this?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought this was going to be the final episode for one person in particular. And no, not true, because we don't start the season. So let me give a quick plot recap and then we'll get into it. So Bus is on a mission to figure out what went wrong last season, and he interviews several people and learns essentially of two conflicts. Norm thinks that Magic is the problem with the team's chemistry, and several people think that Paul Westhead has too much authority on this team. Paul hires his own scout, a new assistant coach, to look into Mitch Kupchak, who he wants to trade for. And Pat is upset when he learns that Jones is going to DC in the trade for Kupchak. Paul insists he wants Pat around, but only if he plays the role of lieutenant. Meanwhile, we get the backstory of Larry Bird. He drops out of Indiana University and moves back home to French Lick, Indiana, the best name town for our hillbilly Larry Bird. He does come home one day and find his dad has killed himself. But he keeps working home. This is not in there, but apparently he's a garbage man when he moved back to home. He gets scouted by a coach at Indiana State University and ultimately joins the team. He plays well enough to get drafted by Red Auerbach, despite being beaten by Magic in the state championship, who sees him as a goddamn Celtic. Magic wants a Bus to show his commitment to the team by signing him to an extension past the 5 years that are already on his contract. Bus has to finagle this with Claire, but ultimately decides to offer Magic a 25-year, $25 million contract that will keep him, have some money even after he's finished playing with the Lakers. This ultimately means that Norm Nixon potentially is the odd man out, and Jerry Buss offers him the opportunity to be traded. He could trade him anywhere in the league, and Norm says, I like being a Laker. We're good, to which Magic Johnson tells him, stop eating my melon. I think that's essentially it. Might have missed. There's some Genie Johnny drama, but we'll get into it. So where should we start? What's the headline?
Headline is, you know, I don't know. Just Larry Bird. Like, Larry Bird's an interesting character. We see that here. I think, as you mentioned, I think we're almost setting up the big bad in a way in this episode. I would guess that Larry Bird is going to be a huge part of the rest of this season. It's just an interesting way that they really introduced him into this show. We saw him a little bit in season one. Now it seems like we're going to see him a lot more in this season.
So I really like, again, I said I really like the Larry Bird stuff. Again, I'm not sure if we should have done it if we only have seven episodes in this season, but what we got, I really enjoyed. I really felt this conflict. I grew up in a very small town, and when I went to university, I did have this tough time, and I didn't even go to, like him, I didn't go to like this huge university. But I did have this tough time with like, where should I be? What am I doing with my life? Sort of conflict. Didn't drop out, but that's what Larry Bird chooses to do. And then this sort of idea that he comes home and his dad is like, you don't want to live here, man. Like, you don't want what I have, which ultimately, and this is all true, his father does commit suicide, is quite a tragedy and complex, I think, scenario. And I can see why the show was potentially interested in showcasing it on the screen, because I think it does make, this is like, even more than Magic in some ways. It definitely feels like he kind of overcomes the odds to make it as this like Boston Celtics superstar.
Yeah. And I mean, in the companion guides that we get from HBO, it tells a little more behind the scenes story. It tells more of Larry Bird's story of how he, he was recruited into Indiana University by Bobby Knight, of all people, right out of high school. And, he didn't even play one single game for Indiana University before he decides to leave and go back home, because, there's so, like, as he says in the episode, there's so much in the big city, as he puts it. He gets homesick and leaves. And, his dad, his mom were having problems. They were divorced. And that really ended up, leaving his dad very depressed, which, leads to him taking his own life. So, like I said, I felt like we could have expounded a lot more on this and really shown the full range for what brought Larry Bird to Boston. For me, it's just a shame that we got just these few scenes that were very effective, but I feel like we could have gotten more out of it.
Yeah, so the scenes that we do get Larry Bird playing in jeans, which apparently also is a true story. As the show points out, this actually happened. Puts up a bunch of points and eventually goes on to play for Indiana State University, the Hoosiers. And a big piece at the end, I do think they did a pretty good job here of tying, why we're seeing this back into the story with Magic. Actually, I forgot the scene that we opened up with, which I really liked as well. We talked about how episode one really dived into the campiness, the like, TV Magic. That's a pun because Magic Johnson's on the show. Episode two pulls back on a little bit. Episode three, we start with like Larry and Red like blowing their cigars and the smoke goes into Bus and Magic's face. I love that. And at the end of the episode, like Bird has just won a championship, but comes home to the place where his father has killed himself, opens up this like, portfolio of newspaper articles. He wants to put in the one about his championship win. And he sees the article about how Magic beat him for the national championship. So I thought it, I definitely agree. We could have gone deeper and done more, like I do feel like, his father's story, certainly we get one scene with that guy before he does what he does. And like, I can see where you want to put it in. I sometimes also feel like you got to be so maybe more delicate with these type of stories, because this feels like, I don't know, sensational in a way, but it's not. It's like, it is true, but it's tricky. It's a tricky thing to try to balance in your TV show.
Yeah, 100%. I just felt like, I read a little bit about the Larry Bird actor, he's always wanted to play Larry Bird his entire life, and he got this opportunity.
That's awesome.
And I think I read that Bo Burnham was actually up for the Larry Bird part.
I don't know if that would have worked, but I don't know.
To turn it down based on like scheduling or something.
Yes.
And then this guy who's been wanting to play Larry Bird's style, because people have kept telling him that he looks like Larry Bird, actually gets the once in a lifetime shot to play Larry Bird, which is, think about the casting of this show, which is also an interesting kind of story. It's a lot of relative unknowns. And we think about this guy who's, always been told he played Larry Bird. We think about Norm Nixon, who the actor playing Norm is actually the son of the real Norm Nixon, which is a fantastic little twist to the casting story. So I think this show is really hit kind of a gold mine with a lot of their casting choices for everyone from Magic to Kareem to Larry Bird, Norm Nixon. I think they're really hitting on all cylinders there.
I also like the choice to cast Magic and Larry Bird as not like big names. This is Sean Patrick Small playing Larry Bird, which is ironic because he's very tall. And Quincy Isaiah as Magic Johnson, I think, are good casting choices. In that, I do think, like, for me, by far and away, like the thing I'm seeing the most like resonance with is definitely Adrian Brody as Pat Riley. I just don't know Westhead or Buss or even Jerry West. I think the Jason Clark performance is really good. But I like the choice to have these two young guys in these roles of like the young up and comers. I feel like it's fitting.
Do you think there's a world where you could have really framed this TV show instead of the destiny of the Lakers as a Magic versus Bird type of situation?
100%. I definitely think we could. I think it's because it's based off the book that there's so much. And you know, we start off with the book. Like, I think that if you build the show as Bird versus Magic, you probably lose more of, not that Jerry Buss wouldn't be in there, but sort of him being the other person who often like looks at the camera and like breaks the fourth wall. I think that you would get much more. And Red, like Jerry and Red would be like,
They would be really supporting characters. I think we could still like get their characterization in there a lot if it was a Magic versus Bird thing. They would still be big characters. I think it would be interesting to delve more into the Larry Bird stuff. We could have done that if it was a Magic versus Bird, kind of show both their origin stories set against each other and kind of how they relate to each other.
Yeah, I do think the one thing about this show that I've really appreciated, especially last season, was focusing on the Lakers meant that they could tell the Haywood Kareem story. Mm-hmm. Some of the thing of like, you know, not to like diminish what Larry Bird did in the NBA, but I do think like, yeah, telling the story about a sport that predominantly has black athletes being the star of the show. I do think there is like something empowering about this being about this team, this Lakers team. It's so interesting because you do have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you have Magic Johnson, and some of these other people that I didn't know as well, but getting to see like the Norm Nixon story, Cooper in this episode. So I do think it was the right choice ultimately to like make it the Lakers show, because you can still do this Larry Bird thing. The thing that I this season probably should be longer. So,
I mean, listen, we're gonna keep saying it because it's true. Yeah. You know, it's just it's a wild undertaking to tell these four basketball seasons in a shortened season. So they're doing it. So we'll see how well it works at the end. I think by the end we'll say, oh, that worked, or I did this. They will say this is the blueprint to tell a big story in a small season, or we'll say, oh, definitely could use those three other episodes.
I really liked the Red Auerbach Larry Bird scene. He's like, you thirsty? I could offer you a bud or a bud
or a bud.
And I just like the speech that Red does to convince. So Larry Bird had been signed, but had been uncommitted. The draft is coming up. If he doesn't get signed by the next draft day, he goes back into the pool. Red uses this combination of being like, don't you think you're the best man? Like if you go back in, you actually think you're going to get drafted number one? Like you're not. But also says like, I would draft you number one, no matter what, every day, twice on Sunday. And then also this, like, you are basically the Celtics DNA. Also, we're going to create something that nobody's ever done before. I'm going to build a franchise around a corner man, the least important role on a basketball team. And if we do it, then I'm the greatest to ever build a team. Come do it with me. I really liked the scene. I liked, you know, you can see how they gel well together in the same way that you can see that Jerry and Buss and Magic gel well together.
Yeah. At the same time, he's doing a lot of things in this speech. He's calling out Bird. He's calling out Bird for kind of being a coward. He's hyping himself up and Bird up by saying we are the best to ever do it, because I know that you could be the best and I'll be the best. So he's doing a lot in this scene here. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in the behind the scenes and the realness of it is that, you know, we talk about how Buss is this kind of prescient being in the NBA world. You know, Red is that way too, because, you know, also in the companion guy, we see that back in those days to draft a player, all they had to be was 4 years outside of their college high school graduation, for them to be drafted into the NBA. Right. So Red, you know, before Bird is even out of college, because Bird took that 1 year layoff, was able to draft Larry and get his NBA rights before he's actually out of college. So right. I think that was a really interesting way for Red to kind of circumvent things, to go through a loophole to actually get Larry Bird, because he realized what he had on his hands there.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, the idea of like going to college or not, that's a bit, there's a big thing in baseball about that, of like some of these players get signed when they're 16 years old. So they can, if they sign, they're kind of opting out of the potential to go play at a college. The sports.
Well, I mean, it's amazing seeing, it's kind of a a commentary about the current sports world, because we see here it's like, well, you can't draft this person until they're out of college. It's
That's right.
No, that's not the way anymore. Like, some people just totally forgo college to go with the NBA. Also, talk about, you know, oh, he wants more money, but his contract isn't even up yet. As you see, like, in the sports world, they're doing it all the time now.
Yeah.
You know, these sports stars want more money before the actual contract they signed is up. It's like the gall of Magic to want more money now. He hasn't even finished out his 5 years. It's like, no, this happens every day now.
Yeah, I mean, we can pivot a little bit here to talk about the Magic and Boston, because I think they go hand in hand with Red and Larry. But I do, you know, the thing about this, like, long-term commitment, like, that is a big commitment. That is, and Claire's being like, we have no money left, and so you got to figure it out. And that is a long time, and at the time, that was a lot of money. But the other thing that, like, is the show doing a good job here of basically, this is the same reason why he signs all these guys, and we hear Coop being like, yeah, I got paid 10 times as much to do the exact same thing as I did before. That's only because Jerry Buss could foresee that the new free agency rules were going to drive up the price.
Yeah, I love that scene between Magic. I love that scene with Magic's basketball camp near the opening.
Another good outside the box use of him dreaming of these kids.
Yeah, he's just imagining. These kids talking crap about him. And then, you know, we Jerry talked about his strategy of extending these players before the free agency comes up, and you see it working here with Cooper. He's like, wow, I thought they didn't like me, but they love me. I love the Lakers. They gave me money. I didn't have to ask them. It's like, yeah, they're kind of shortchange you because they know that, you know, you could fetch a lot more money down the line. So they kind of fleeced you here, Cooper, but Cooper doesn't get it. Cooper's like, yeah, I can't believe it. They love me. And Magic, you know, Magic obviously is, you know, some type of way, because he's like, oh, you know, they didn't give me more money. Now he's got this idea of, you know, I need more money.
Very fun. But also, yeah, that's because Buss sees that, like, you know, people are going to get paid, and $1 million a year is nothing now. Yeah. I was just looking at, like, 2023. So this upcoming NBA season, I wanted to see, like, who's making $25 million. And if I knew them, and there's some guys, I do not know who John Collins is. He plays for Utah. He is making $25 million this year. Not that he's a bad player. I just don't know who he is. Kyle Kuzma also making $25 million. Brooke Lopez.
This year, right? Like, this in 1 year. Like,
in 1 year.
Magic's going to make that in 25 years. Like, totally. That's right. Like, he's going to do that $25 million over 25 years. So, yeah, it's definitely a staggering comparison between then and now.
And it, like, can be true that this is, like, Buss showing a commitment to Magic Johnson of being like, it doesn't matter. You know, like, I need you to hold up the end of the deal, but I believe that as long as you say you believe you can do it, then I believe you can do it too. So, let's do it. Here's, you know, $25 million over the course of 25 years. I've been saying I want more Magic and Jerry. We get at the beginning of the episode, Magic's calling Cookie. And I really like this as well, of the Cookie and the way that everything is parallel in this episode, I thought was really well done in terms of the writing. So I feel like Larry Bird and Red Auerbach is like, while they get the scene together, we also get this, like, Jerry, Buss and Magic scene. And then, as Magic is going to sign this 25-year deal, he calls Cookie to be like, look, this is amazing. And she's like, yeah, but I don't want to live in Los Angeles. So, like, never going to happen. And he's like, well, I'm not going to be with anybody who won't live in Los Angeles. So she's like, they're like, okay. And they break up the phone. He actually says, I'm marrying the Los Angeles Lakers. So I just really liked the interplay between all of these stories in the way that, like, I feel like it was a really cohesive episode.
Yeah, there's just this delicate dance between Cookie and Magic that we've been getting for the past few episodes of, like, well, they won't they, if you know, if you know the real life, you know what happens. But I do enjoy the interplay of Cookie, who's already kind of resigned herself in a way that she's going to be with Magic, but she's doing this dance with the Magic, and I really enjoy the performance between them both. And as Magic says, after this meeting with Wes, he's like, yeah, the cell has really worked on Magic. Like, yeah, like you said, I'm marrying the Lakers. Like, whoever I'm with needs to accept that, needs to marry the Lakers as well. So definitely a good idea of Magic's commitment and passion to the Lakers there.
And it's just him, right? I feel like she's like, I'm a Lansing girl, and Magic's like, I'm an LA guy, you know, which is, it's really interesting to think about, like, a time, like, how much that actually does factor into players and where they want to play and where they'll choose to sign, because it does seem like playing for the Los Angeles Lakers is a big enough deal for this sort of conflict with Norm Nixon to, I'll put in quote, big quotations, resolve itself in terms of he's going to say Magic is the problem at the beginning of the thing. Everybody was open. He didn't pass the ball. I love the kids. Larry Bird would have passed the ball. It's just like as they're like smack talking him.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So this is apparently pretty true, other than the fact that they weren't at Jerry's house. They went to on a trip to Las Vegas, and it was to completely try to like settle this beef. And apparently this story is like, as it has been told by everybody, this is basically how it goes, where Jerry Buss basically like, it's basically a threat of like, if you're not going to work with Magic, Magic's the guy who's going to stay on the team. I'll trade you wherever you want. You can go. But essentially you will not be the one on this team if it doesn't work between you and Magic. And obviously Norm agrees at least to say, all right, we're good. We'll figure it out.
This is like a Goodfellas, like it's mob, bad, yeah. Like, you know, yeah. This is kind of this veiled threat with the seemingly the enforcer of like Magic just lurking around the background, just like grinning and smiling at Norm.
When he literally inserts himself in the middle of them as Buss is like talking to Norm about he can trade him. And it's like, it's not like this, like, it's just like, you just see Magic like reaching for something. I'm like, he's literally inserting himself in the middle of this conversation.
Yeah. He's showing his presence. He's really kind of big timing Norm. I mean, as Buss and Magic are both there, just kind of big timing Norm. Like what are you gonna do? And you know, you as this meeting is taking place, you remember Norm being so comfortable in the beginning of this episode, telling Buss, like, yeah, Magic's a problem, Magic's the issue. And then now we're here, and Buss is like, all right, go ahead, say it to his face then. Go ahead, say it. Say what you said to me earlier. And Norm's like, no, everything's really good.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's good. It's just interesting to see Norm, who's usually so big in presence and big in you know, in his personality, just kind of shrink so small here. And you know, as he's coming in with the bus to this, you know, brunch, he's like, oh yeah. So you can just tell, he's like, I'm so glad we got one-on-one time, me and you.
Oh, that's so sad.
And then Bus comes in like, yeah, Magic's here too. And you see Norm just shrink. He's like,
because yeah, his face when he realizes that Magic Johnson has also joined for brunch is pretty good. What do you make of this last line of like Magic being like, I know what I'm gonna say, like, Norm better stop eating my melon.
Yeah,
he takes the melon off the fork.
Just a shit-eating grin on his face. It's like, yeah, you just got punked. Like, you know, I just served you. So you give me my shit back. This is my team. I'm taking it now. It's over.
We talked about in season one that like It's not, it's like sometimes they definitely shield magic a little bit to a degree. And there's times where like it's a, you know, it does feel like not the most like, you know, clean cut depiction of Magic Johnson that maybe he would have wanted. And I feel like the beginning of the season, we talked about he kind of denied this baby being his and how much he put up a fight about that until there's actually a DNA test done. And the show kind of makes it seem like, you know, he has an immediate change of heart.
Once his father was coming to father. Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, there is a way of like the show this far has a pretty good representation of this is a, I feel like this is a bad look. I feel like for Magic Johnson at the end of this episode.
You know, I didn't see it as that bad. I kind of saw it as like, yeah, I kind of won. Like this is me winning, but he didn't, I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad. I just thought it was like, yeah, bus is on my side. This is my team.
So yeah.
I think it could have been a lot worse, basically.
That's fair. I think it's also like, clearly Norm is like, you know, eating some, you know, here to like, you know, placate what's happening. Yeah. And so for Magic to be like, stop eating my melon is, which I take it as like, I'm going to be the point guard. I'm going to get the ball. Like, this is my team, which is like, you know, fine, but also like, I don't know. Norm's being obviously placated because he's going to get traded if he doesn't. But
yeah, I mean, Norm, I think everybody sees like the Lakers are a force we reckon with, and Norm wants to be a part of that. So he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to take it. He realizes now that Magic has won the little battle between them because Bus is obviously squarely in Magic's corner here.
Yeah. This is, this episode is pretty basketball heavy again, in terms of, I guess the Larry Bird stuff is, I mean, it is still pretty basketball-y, but no Kareem at all, I don't think. Yeah. None. I did like, what's this guy's name? The white
Jones?
Guy? Yeah, he does get a great save.
Love Jones. Yeah, love Jones. Who are you talking about?
Who's the guy, the blonde hair guy? And I only want to shout him out because at basketball camp.
Oh, Landsberger.
He's so excited to teach layups. He says layups are important. Come on, guys.
Yeah, that's because you know that's all he can do. That's what he's that's what he's for on the team. Like, come on, guys, layups are important.
Yeah. You want to talk about the Jones? Yeah, I thought it was like, you know, really good in terms of once again showing like how quick, like what teams actually think of you as a player and how you are a commodity. He says he has triplets at home and just bought a new house, and now he has to move to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, which I mean was like, you know, I mean, come on, Jones. You know what you sign up for in a way. Like, you're a basketball player.
100%.
These things happen, but he definitely took it personally. I think Jones is also one of the ones who in the media was kind of not afraid, you know, even more than Norm, was not afraid to say what he felt like. I think he was one of the guys who was like, this is a circus, as they were talking about Magic coming back from injury. But yeah, you know, that's pretty much all we've ever got from Jones. And now we see this real tirade where he's getting traded. Pat Riley knew nothing about it. I guess this is a good way to segue into the Pat Paul stuff. Yeah. But as you know, Jones is being told he's being traded, knocking on Wes's door because he knows Wes is in there.
Like, okay, bad look for Paul this episode. Paul has the worst. Paul looks the worst this episode,
yeah.
Right?
Just MF for this, MF for that at Paul Westhead's door. And as he's walking out, he's like, got a freaking English teacher coaching an NBA team. What the hell is this?
I think that the thing for Jones is that like he had no heads up, I think is like, you know, as from the head office, like, is it the best? I mean, certainly probably not during the season. In the preseason, is it like, do you give someone a heads up that they might be traded? I've never run a professional team, so I actually don't know. He does seem to be pretty mad at everybody for just like, you know, letting it happen. So, and I think also like, I can imagine that like, yeah, as much as this is probably like too much of a reaction, I'm sure being traded is like, depending on what's happening, especially when they're like bringing in a guy who they think like, you know, whatever they think of it. Like if you're being like the optics of being traded, like if you're at the last MLB trade deadline, right? Like, yeah, Max Scherzer gets traded for like prospects. Like that's much different. And like, you're going to a team that like, it's going to win versus these trades in the NBA that seem much more like one asset for another asset. And like, you know, what money I think is involved in this deal. This is the Jerry Buss approvals here to go up to 800K probably goes to the team, probably not Kupchak, but it kind of sucks if you're traded for, and the team is kind of being like, yeah, it's not, we'll be better without you essentially. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's saying that you are expendable. Like you are not worth in our time, as Bill puts it, Jones is a sweetener to the deal for Kupchak. So it's like, we just had to give him somebody. So we just decided to give them Yu Jones.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting to see Jones' reaction to it, because the Lakers know who the Lakers are. Lakers know that they are a team that's on the rise, probably going to have many more championships. And to be traded off a team like that has to also really hurt as well.
You know, you didn't have belief in the 1982 Washington Bullets?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I think HBO is producing a Washington Bullets dynasty TV show, so Jones should be able to get some work.
It's going to be a crossover character. Really.
All right, let's talk about Pat and Paul. This is a bad episode for Paul. This is really bad. The hiring his own scout to go and scout somebody. And I feel like the biggest thing is like how many outs everybody gives him. Like Pat's like, dude, if you don't trust me and you don't want me here, I'm good. You can tell me to go and I'll leave. Which would have been an interesting like alternate universe scenario where like if Pat Riley is gone before the start of the 82 season. But Paul's like, no, I want you here. I trust you. Like I want you around because I actually know how much I need you. But also like, you have to look like you're like number two. You can't look like the number one guy.
You know, in some circles, I think people would call what Paul is doing some real like beta energy. Paul's really giving off here because he doesn't want to admit any fault, but he doesn't want to let go of what he knows is working. And he just wants people to respect him. Like, this is the carbon thing. Respect my authority. Like, that's what he wants. He just wants 100%. People to look to him as the big boss. And you can tell people are really trying to, at this point, work around Paul and work around what you know, for whatever reason Buss gave him all this authority in his contract. They're trying to really get around that, and Paul is noticing, and Paul does not like it.
I loved the scenes that like that are exactly build into that. So one scene in particular is when Bill comes in. Paul is talking to the scout. I think he had sent the new assistant coach. He had sent him to go look at Mitch. And Bill drops two things. He's like, "So Buss agreed to $800,000."
So Buss agreed to $800,000.
Yeah, your Bill impression. Yeah, we gotta give one.
Give him a cough drop. Give him a cough drop, please.
And he's like, well, that's great. I've been saying he's great. He's like, no, it actually took a call to some guy. I don't know who like was like, yeah, he was great when he played for me in college. And so Paul's and like, Bill, son of a bitch.
Bill in that moment is like, Bill, you know what you're doing. Stop it. Like, let Paul have his win. Let him have what he wants. Because he's a little crybaby. You take away his toy, which is like respect. And, you know, he's going to cry. He's going to have a problem with this. So Bill, and I think, obviously, Bill probably knew what he was doing there. Bill's just probably about as sick of Paul as anyone else. Like, well, actually, no. We called this other guy. And he said he was good. So we went ahead and did the deal.
It's so funny. And Paul's like, well, I've been saying that for a long time. He's like, yeah, but it took a call to Dean Wilson or something to get the deal done. And then he drops, yeah, we're going to have to throw in a sweetener. And I talked to Pat. Pat doesn't think like we should trade Jones. And Paul's like, what the hell?
You talked to Pat.
I also think the look that they've given Paul, which it might be accurate, makes him look like he's trying so hard to be it's beta energy. I think you're right. Yeah.
Such a doofus Paul is. And Jason, you know, all props to Jason Segel. He plays 100%. It fantastically. Just this really insecure guy that's trying to hold this, has this like stranglehold on any respect and authority that he can. And by the way, just a random note.
Yes.
Shout out to Gillian Jacobs' agent, who somehow
keeps
getting her name in the opening credits. Like, is she ever going to show back up?
Yeah, Mrs. Riley is really... Yeah, that's hilarious. That's a good point. This scene with Pat and Paul, and I do love that Paul was in fact in his office when Jones is knocking
just
on the
door.
Just
cowering behind his desk, I'm sure. He probably even like hid under the desk just in case Jones was able to get his way into the door.
But the scene, I think, certainly sets up tension between Pat and Paul, I think, in a pretty compelling way. And Paul saying, no, you should stay. Everybody has to know I'm in charge.
You just have to do what I want. Like, you can't just say whatever you want to say. You have to check in with me first.
Yeah. These are all things that you should be asking permission for. Yeah, that's what he
don't
says.
Give your opinion on anything until you've talked to me first.
Oh, wild. Wild. The acting in this whole stuff has been very good.
And the way they're really building this up. They're really putting the pressure onto Paul just for when this all blows up is just going to be spectacular, I think.
I mean, and you say fair play to Gillian Jacobs. I mean, maybe also fair play to Jason Segel to get, he's going to get basically half the
season.
Yeah, he's
going to have the show.
They're like, how many seasons of basketball are we doing? Like four. It's like, interesting.
But he still has to show up. Gillian doesn't have to set foot on set.
That's true.
Gillian, whatever the hell her name is.
I don't know.
I never got her name right. She doesn't have to set a pinky toe on the set of the show to get credit for it.
Yeah. All right. The last, I think, little bit here is this genie thing, where I actually think this is quite ruthless. I know she tries to say that her dad signed off on it, but she does trade Johnny's girlfriend, the love of his life, away for this player that she wants to be able to get the strings as a potentially a championship winning tennis team. Once again, just like more like, are you sure this is for you? You're pretty good at it, but I don't know if you should be like this, Jeannie.
Yeah, I really wish we could have gotten some more seeds of that, of like the actual trade going down. I'm like, hey, so I know we got this deal pretty good in place, but do you want this other girl?
Do you know that Anna, the girlfriend, says when like Bus says no business talk during Monopoly, mm-hmm. she goes, I used to play with her. Do you want me to give her a call? Which seemingly suggests that Anna like gets this girl to agree to be traded to the team only for her to be traded in the deal.
Little did she know she was signing her own death warrant. But you know, another thing to note, based on real life, this trade did go down, but it was not for Martina Martina Navratilova. It was for some other tennis player, but I think they put in Martina's name just to make it, you know, a little more juicy, because she's a known name. But I just wish you could have gotten the negotiations. Like, I know we've hammered out the deal, but do you want this girl? What was her name? Anna. Do you just want Anna for free? I can give her to you. I don't want her on the team anymore. And the way Johnny comes in, just so on fire about this, as just like a petulant little child, and this, they took his girlfriend away, was so fantastic. And the way he like burns Jeannie by being like, you will never be his favorite son no matter what you do. It's like, oh,
100 trophies you could bring home. Yeah.
Ouch.
It's really, this is like not what I expected the Bus Boys to be like. I thought they would be like inept but like eager to like win his affection.
Yeah, I thought they would come in acting like they were the shit.
Smart, yeah.
Like, yeah, they were smart, but really being dumb as hell. But it really seems like they're being portrayed here as like, yeah, we know we're, you know, getting a free ride and don't really care.
Yeah, I almost want to live my life. I don't care about like the LA strings, you know. I just care about one LA string, not the rest of them. That's brutal.
I'll puck that string all night long. You know what I mean?
That is so brutal from both Jeannie and Jerry Buss to trade their son or brother's girlfriend.
I told you, I warned you, do not get involved with this woman, because she is an asset. She is something to be bought, sold, and traded. So don't get too attached. It's like when you're on a farm, you're like, you know, don't get too attached to that pig over there. Don't start naming these these farm animals, because next thing you know, you're gonna be eating them up for breakfast.
My mom grew up on a farm and has never been able to have a lamb, because she had a favorite lamb that she learned. was also a delicious lamb.
Mary had a little lamb for breakfast.
That's right. Spoilers, but Jeannie is going to go on to win the LA Strings Championship. So it is the right move to trade. Yeah. Although it's not, she does acquire this Martina Navratilova.
Yeah, later than it was portrayed here. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. When there's like so much time, like, why did they do that? I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, right? Is it just funner tennis name?
Yeah, I've heard the name. I've literally heard that name before. I was like, when they said the name, I was like, I've heard that name somewhere. I don't know who that is, but I've definitely heard the name. So I guess it's just to kind of spice it up a little bit and do it for a brand name in our minds when we hear it.
Jerry Buss is gonna hurt Honey, right? She's like, please don't hurt me.
Oh yes. I mean, come on, we can all see that coming. Like, if you ever watch a TV show, you know this is gonna crash and burn spectacularly.
Yeah,
like, he's gonna set her on fire again and throw her in another pool or something.
Like, she's like, I've worked so hard, this really scares me, all the champagne and caviar, please don't hurt me. Like, and he's like, no, like, actually he doesn't say I won't, he just like kind of shakes his head.
You dear thing. It's like, we all just want to say like, oh sweetie, like, as she says, like,
run,
you have no idea what you're up to, you in danger, girl, like, get out of there now. It's tough, it's real tough.
I do love the song they play. I think Stumbling In. Soundtrack to the show is just so good. So I want to highlight again, like the, I really love the like country music twang thing they put on like the Larry Bird scenes with like the font is in the green, whatever. But the whole like soundtrack to the show is just like, it has such vibes. The show.
Yeah, they should definitely win awards for the musical direction of this show. It's so good.
Did you see that? I'm not sure exactly what his role on the show, but this individual tweeted out that he works on the show. Initially said, unfortunately, I don't know if this is the best wording, the best way to word this, but that the strikes is hemorrhaging their ability to be a successful show, and they desperately need people to watch.
I want to say it's Jeff Perlman, who actually was the writer of the book.
Okay, right. That makes sense. And he then went on to say, like, all these great young actors who are putting on great performances, like, we got to support them, which is like, yeah, probably the better spin.
He says like, you know, oh darn, we're probably not getting a good season 3 because of the stupid strikes.
Okay. I mean, I get, everybody agrees that the strike sucks, and it's not good that they have to strike, but also they have to strike. And so just if people who work on TV shows that I'm podcasting about could stop putting their foot in their mouth, I would love it. Looking at you, Stephen Amell, now you, Jeff Perlman. Just saying. Yeah. Do we miss anything about The Second Coming, Jason? Anything else?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we covered most of it. Just the Red Hour back of it all is so great. I love him too. Just as we mentioned that scene with Larry. Do we want, I don't know if we want to mention, I don't know how much of Kupchak they're going to get into down the line, because we did get info about like what really happened with Kupchak later, so we'll wait until next episode to get into that.
It's interesting because of the companion guides, like sometimes the companion guides will tell us stuff that like, so like Genie winning the championship, and then I wonder if like, is that going to be in a future episode, or do they put in the companion guide because they're not, I mean, Kupchak does, the Detroit happens, he basically is a nothing burger for the team just because of injury, so it's like, yeah, I don't, but it's so weird because of like how much will they go forward.
Like, will we ever see Kupchak? Are we gonna like start in the middle of next season and be like, well, Kupchak was supposed to be this great hope for the Lakers, but he was out really soon.
We'll
and
just,
I mean,
name check him.
Name check Kupchak. But like, he does end up being very even though he doesn't make it as a player, he ends up being very important to the Lakers down the line as like, you know, a front office person.
One thing I thought was really interesting is that they do this whole scene where there's a guy watching Larry Bird. And so I don't know if this is just me like not having enough basketball knowledge or what, but like, there's this thing where like that guy's sitting there and then they like put up the graphic of who he is, which is like, that's fine. I get, like, you're giving me the information that he's like Bill Hodges. He's the like scout or he's the coach of the Indiana State University or whatever. And he's going to have a scene. But I also think like, can't you just have like, why did we need to put like, often the I think it's more fun when it's like, ooh, that's like Elton John, or like that's like, you know, that's who's the guy who Jack Nicholson, right? When they're like, put that's Jack, that's supposed to be Jack Nicholson.
Well, I mean,
like, this is Bill Hodges. You're like,
do we want to be waiting? Be like, why is this random guy just scoping out Larry Bird? Like, what is this about? Are we supposed to assume that's a basketball person? Like, we know it's a basketball person. We get that.
Yeah, and then you could just have him be like, Bill, I'm not playing for Indiana State University, right? You can just write it the dot.
Yeah, sometimes it gets a little too cute, is what you're saying.
I think so. Especially when I'm like, oh, I get, okay, Bill Hodges, okay, and then I look him up, and he's
a rando.
Yeah, like it's fun when like last season when they did with like with David Stern, is it David Stern, right? Because he's the like at that time he's the assistant.
Yeah,
he's
going to become the commissioner. Yeah.
And then he'll be he's the assistant commissioner, and then he'll become the, and like that's, you know, I know him. Like it's, yeah, I'm like, okay, Bill Hodges, apparently a big deal. It's like,
or
nah,
was the guy's name
really.
Roger Sterling? Was that his name? Or Donald Sterling was his name, right?
Oh, yeah. But that one's because like, I feel like he did make, right? Because because
he's infamous. Clippers. He's going to be infamous later down the line. So, yeah, that is what makes it interesting. But like, yeah, it'll be like, this is one guy that's probably going to be in Justice episode. You'll never hear of him again. It's probably a little too much.
Yeah, when you search Bill Hodges, that's a Stephen King trilogy. Like, okay, all right. Anyway, I did enjoy this one.
Grace, didn't you hear about Stephen King who wrote this book about this random assistant, assistant basketball coach at Indiana
State? That's right. All right, I really enjoyed this one, The Second Coming. A little annoying that The Second Coming is the third episode of the season, but that's
come
fine.
On, Amy. Come on, titling department.
That's Larry Bird. Larry Bird is the Second Coming. Who's the Second Coming?
Yeah, that's because that's what we called him in that Boston news piece. Like, it was like Easter has just ended, but Larry Bird is the second coming for people in Boston. Yeah, that's what it was.
Right. Okay. All right. That's fine. Episode title. Yeah. All right. We will be back next week with more Winning Time season three. Hopefully one day. Yeah. But for now, season 2.
According to Jeff Furman, we're not getting to season 3 because of the freaking strikes.
That's right. In the meantime, I got lots going on here on post show recaps. We have finished our Dark rewatch, and now we're doing some time travel movies before we decide what to do next. We're going to be watching Primer next week, 2004 movie, covering Foundation, Heartstopper, Heels, The After Party, lots of movies each week with Ariel. I know. I'm on socials at High From Grace, right? Go for Grace. Jason, what about you?
My list is much shorter. Besides this, the only thing I'm covering here on Post Show Recaps right now is Special Ops Lioness with Saucer Joseph. Come check that show out. I'm not going to say what I want to say about that show. But also over on the Rob Hess podcast side of things, the show Raider First Sight is on hiatus right now, but my co-host and I, Adrian Welch, actually had some postseason interviews with a couple of the wives that are on the show. So if you're interested, if you're into that at all for any reason, go check those out over on A Perfect Match. On that podcast or on the Rob Hess Podcast Network. Other than that, that's about it.
All right. We'll be back next week with episode 4. Until then,
keep dreaming, keep dribbling.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.